Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome to the show. I'm Colin Cowherd, and I'll tell you why I'm a cynic about all the Celtics' big moves.
And I'm Jason McIntyre, in for Jason Whitlock. I'll tell you why LeBron should be furious about what the Cavs just did. Speak for yourself starts now.
It is a Friday. I had no idea all these guys were baseball guys today. You could only watch our pre-show. Hello and welcome. We're joined today by Super Bowl champ Eric Davis, NBA champ Eddie House. Let's start in Boston, though, where the Celtics continue their busy offseason, trading Avery Bradley, like that dude, and a future second-round pick to Detroit for big man Marcus Morris. Now, Danny Ainge had to move Bradley to clear cap space for big free agent Gordon Hayward. Not that big. Also had to renounce the rights to crucial role player Kelly Olynyk. All right, Mac, has Ainge improved the Celtics this offseason?
Crucial role player? Is that what we're calling him? Come on. Seriously, no. What Danny Ainge has done with the Celtics has been incredible this offseason. I think they get better 53 to 55 wins, still the number one seed. You're talking about a top 25 player in the league, Colin, in Gordon Hayward. He played in a slow offense in Houston. They were last in pace. He's going to be running and gunning more in Boston. I believe right now, the Boston Celtics are a toss-up with the Cavs, the Cleveland Fossils, in the East right now.
I don't get it. First of all, show me the history of the league where patience and accumulating draft picks wins. It doesn't.
Well, the Philadelphia 76ers right now.
Yeah. Pat Riley's never been patient. The Warriors win a title. Here's how patient they were. They recruited Kevin Durant. The Lakers, they go get your star while they're winning titles. The NFL, sometimes in baseball, rewards patience. Don't rush your pitcher to the bigs. Don't rush your quarterback to start. Basketball is about, that dude's good. I'm going to go get him. So I think Boston's a little better, not that much better.
I think they're a little better, too. They're not extremely better, and I don't know what you're talking about.
It's about a toss-up between
the Cavaliers. Hey, no way it's a toss-up between the Cavaliers. But they did. I really like what Danny's doing on this end of it. He's accumulated a lot of young talent. And to your point, the Cavs are getting older, especially LeBron.
They are.
And once that team is not as good or superior as they are, the Celtics are right there to take over. Right there to take over. Jaylen Brown's a hell of a young player. Jason Tatum's going to be, I think he's going to be
He's a baby.
It doesn't matter. LeBron came in the league 19 and he killed. I'm not comparing him to LeBron. What I'm saying is he's going to develop and be good. Look at the way he can score right now. It's only going to get better. Gordon Hayward is perfect because he's a second, third option on the team. And Isaiah Thomas, he'll get some slack from scoring the ball because of Tatum can score and Hayward can score.
By the way, Avery Bradley.
But they didn't get closer.
Avery Bradley was their second best scorer and their best defender. Okay, let's not make Avery Bradley. In a league with almost no good two guards, there's Klay Thompson, Bradley Beal. Avery Bradley is maybe one of the top three, four, two guards in the league. Bye-bye.
Well, I would have felt better if they had kept Avery Bradley out of the bunch that they were putting out there. I would have felt better about it. But I do think they got a little bit better. Gordon Hayward has shown that every season he's gotten a little bit better. And let's say if he's maxed out. He's maxed out at an all-star level.
East, I guess.
So he
was in the West.
Well, he was in the West last year. So you look at what they brought in. Now he can, and you got brought in a player that can play without the ball. He's going to take some pressure off of Isaiah. I think. And remember, you talked about the young talent. We were just talking about that. The young talent that's already been accumulated there. You still are in position to bring in more pieces. Well, you're assuming that he's finished. I don't think Danny is finished putting this team together.
Yeah, that's a great point right there, Eric. They're not a finished product. This is not a sprint. This is a marathon. And Danny Ainge kept his powder dry. He didn't overpay for Butler or George. You know, he was smart about it. Look, Colin, trade deadline comes up. Russell Westbrook unhappy in OKC. It's going south. Hey, we got three first-round picks. Anthony Davis, things don't work out in New Orleans. Make a run at him.
Okay.
Danny Ainge has Boston in position.
These are ideal situations.
Right.
They are. It's just like everybody said, oh, Gordon Hayward, it'd take anything to get him. It was free. Not that free. Olenek Bradley out. Everybody keeps telling all the ideas. Here's what the Celtics do. They push everything to the future. Well, you know why? Because you always sound smart that way. I tell you, that business I just opened, you wait in 3 years. 4 years, it's going to hit.
But look, if
they're
you
okay
even
today.
Even though I don't like you getting rid of Bradley, his contract was coming up. You're going to have to put big money into him. Do you want to put that big money into Bradley when you have a Hayward there, or do you want to try to go out and get a guy like Anthony Davis? And so I think he is making some planning right here that we're not giving him credit
when
for.
When you load up to win now, you have to have the pieces to win now. Like when we won it in 2008, we loaded up and we were going to win
right then.
They're not going to win. What can they get? When they didn't get Jimmy Butler or Paul George, knowing that they were going to get Gordon Hayward, that killed it right there. That was their opportunity to say, hey, let's win now and let's mortgage the future. But they didn't do that. I like the fact that they have so many assets. They can make a lot of different trades using these first rounds, dangling them out there to see what they could get for them to attract another superstar out there.
I
like what he's doing.
I prefer what Golden State, LeBron, and Daryl Morey are doing. They're creating inertia. So he brings Chris Paul over with James Harden. And everybody's like, I don't know if they play well. But you know what you know? Like, if it works, like, other dudes are going to want to play with that. Like, I think the NBA has always been about the player and about the star. It's a little bit of a party. Like, guys want to be part of the party. And the NFL is about accumulating draft picks and baseball, the minor league. NBA is about creating a vibe, and other guys are like, I want to go join the vibe.
But look at this.
Who wants to join Boston's vibe?
Look at the best vibe out there right now, and the best thing going to Golden State Warriors. That was accumulated over time. Okay, that didn't just happen in one season. They drafted guys, they raised guys, they brought in pieces like an Iguodala and a Livingston, and then they got Durant.
Patience, right? Yeah,
but
they got
overnight.
Stars. Colin, keeping up with the Joneses never works.
If you're a NASCAR fan, there's a new podcast for you to subscribe to. Heritage Road, the podcast that drives you down memory lane, takes you under the hood and gets you behind the wheel of America's favorite racing competition. They talk to the hardworking drivers, crewmen, and fans that made NASCAR possible then and now. From NASCAR royalty Bobby Allison to the broadcasters that brought racing into homes around the country, they've got all the stories you've probably never heard before. Hosted by the voice of Texas Motor Speedway, Rich Phillips, brought to you by Busch, the beer that has supported racing since 1979. Subscribe to Heritage Road today for free wherever you listen to podcasts. Now let's get back to the show.
All right, moving on, guys. Let's move to Vegas, where Lonzo Ball is making his much-anticipated summer league debut tonight for the Lakers. The hype around Lonzo obviously been enormous, thanks mostly to his crazy dad, LeVar. Even Magic Johnson, though, has said he expects Lonzo to break all his records and have his jersey retired. Colin, can Lonzo live up to these expectations?
He's already succeeded. He's a fresh start. If you're a Laker fan, here's your life the last 4 years. Oh, we're really bad. Okay, we got a bunch of young guys. All right, let's keep Kobe for two, which will hurt the development of the young guys, but let's watch Kobe's last year. This year, it's like, all right, we got our Pied Piper. We got our guy. I haven't seen Lonzo play, but we're all kind of like, this is fun. I can't wait to watch the summer league game.
Rushing home for that game tonight, aren't you?
There's not a question in my mind.
I am too.
So my takeaway is he succeeded. He is bringing in the belief for all of us like, okay, this is going to be fun. This is the first of 12 years. We don't think he's LeBron. He didn't lead UCLA in scoring. We're not asking him to be MJ. What we want him to be is fun and the Pied Piper for a decade. So I think he's already succeeded.
And let's remember, you mentioned LeBron. Lonzo's got the most hype coming into the league since LeBron in 2003. Right. LeBron was on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a 16-year-old. Okay, first 2 years, he didn't even get to the playoffs in Cleveland. So I think fans will understand, hey, this is a young Lakers squad. Only Brooke Lopez in the starting lineup has playoff experience. Nobody's expecting playoffs. I wish kind of LeVar would shut up with that stuff, you know, dial it down a little bit, under with the expectations and over deliver. That's what I like to do. Eddie, I don't know if you're on the same
boat.
I don't mind
the father setting the bar high for your kid. You know, you want to set the bar high for your kid and make him push for the sky. But this is the thing. he's going to have expectations, but I think he's going to live up to all of those. Like the Summer League game tonight, right? This is not going to tell us. What I look at in Summer League games, I look at, are they making the right plays? Not numbers, because the numbers, those things lie. Guys can kill in Summer League and don't even make a team in the NBA.
No, but I
want to look at, is this guy making the right plays? And I've seen Lonzo play in high school. I've seen him play in college. He's like a quarterback on the court. He sees the game is so slow to him. He sees guys open, and he's going to have guys wanting to come flock and play with him like how Magic did. It was a straight-up sprint. Whoever gets out first is going to get the ball, and he will get you the ball, and he'll throw you open sometimes. When you think you're not open, he'll put the ball somewhere and make you go get it, and it's always on the money. I can't wait to see this must-see TV, even though it's Summer League. That's crazy to say. You know what I'm saying? But it is must-see TV.
I feel the same way.
Am I excited about it? Yes. Will I be sitting there watching him play? Yes. All these things that you're talking about, true. The way he plays the game and open things up for everyone, all of that is going to be exciting for the next 12 years, hopefully, at least. But can he live up to the expectations that are placed on him? No. No way he can. It doesn't matter what he does. If LeBron James had been drafted by the Chicago Bulls, we wouldn't even be here. You still have comparisons because he came into the league and he was supposed to be the next Jordan. There's no way you would even compare him remotely and say he did what Jordan did for the Bulls because of those championships in that uniform. Lonzo Ball has come into the league and he is a Laker. Magic Johnson is like, leave me some of my records. He has to go in and he has to play against not only just win and have fun, but he's got to play against the ghost of Kobe, the ghost of Magic. It's like Gordon Hayward can go to the Boston Celtics right now. It doesn't matter what he does. He won't eclipse Bird. The love that the city has for him, what he does and how he's viewed, it's not going to happen. So the pressure that's on him and the expectations are for him to be better than those guys. And he's not going to be better than Kobe or Magic.
But remember this. When Magic came into the league, they had Kareem. I mean, he entered a good team.
Yeah.
Shaq came over. You know, they had some players. I think Laker fans, I think we're fairly realistic here. The West is loaded. You're not touching the Warriors. So I do believe there's a transparency that we all understand. Okay, let's give it time. You know, I don't think he's nearly as transcendent as Magic, nor is he physically as gifted as Kobe or as enormous as Shaq. But again, the expectations are 32 wins. The ceiling now is so low. They won, what, 26?
Yeah.
That I do believe he may not live up to the hype, but I think he's going to be given a fair, reasonable
of course
path.
I think he's going to be fine because the way his dad raised him, his dad didn't raise him to go be Magic or be Kobe. He raised him to be the best Lonzo Ball that he can be.
But I think he
has a chance because he's going to play a lot longer than Magic
though.
Did to break the break those records.
But, Eddie, but that's different. You're saying can he handle the pressure and can he live up to the hype? I completely agree with that. But when you start saying expectations, because the expectations are not, okay, 32 games right now, but you said 12 years. How long? How long before you have to start winning championships?
Next year. I think next year. Once they get that free agent next year, I think it's going to be a little bit more attractive for other free agents to come in and play with
them. Remember, Lonzo's been compared to Jason Kidd. He didn't win a title.
That's a good point. Jason Kidd has been the comparison.
Jason Kidd didn't play for the Lakers and have Magic sitting next to him. It's different in that purple and gold, man.
They're totally different. He's 6'7", J. Kidd was 6'4". The comparison is that they pass just alike almost. You know, that's the comparison that they have the same. And they kind of look like each other a little bit. Like, he looked like a young J. Kidd a little bit. You know what I mean? A little wiry, though. So I think that's the comparison. But it's not that he's going to be Jason Kidd. He's going to be, to me, he's going to be a real great passer, but I think a better athlete. Even though J. Kidd was a sneaky athlete, I think he's a better athlete.
All right, welcome back. Eric Davis, Eddie House. Let's return to the NBA and the Cavs, whose front office still sort of a mess after Chauncey Billups turned down their offer to run the team this week. Reportedly, one of the reasons Billups said no was because the owner Dan Gilbert lowballed him on salary, initially offering $1.5 mil for a job that typically pays about $4 million a year. All right, McIntyre, should LeBron be upset that Gilbert lowballed Billups?
A frugal billionaire. Yeah, I would be ticked off if I'm LeBron. You look at that bench, Colin. You got a bunch of guys collecting Social Security. Richard Jefferson, Channing Frye. They're not beating the Warriors. They have no chance. If I'm LeBron, I say, how do we lowball Chauncey Billups? And my next question is, So, what, you know, I'm opting out, right? What are you going to do about it? Because he's out of here next summer. There's no doubt in my mind. I've talked to this about with Broussard about it plenty. He thinks that Dan Gilbert's going to find a way to keep LeBron, but nothing this summer, starting with David losing David Griffin and then lowballing Chauncey. I don't see how LeBron stays.
Listen, one thing about LeBron. You can say he's greatest of all time or not, but he's one of the greatest at understanding the game from the ownership down. Dude gets it. He understands the cap. He knows how to move players. LeBron gets the sport. You tell me an organization in pro sports in any league, and I don't follow hockey a ton, that goes cheap on general managers and is a dynasty. It just doesn't work. Now, you can go cheap on a third starter in baseball. You can go cheap on a lot of stuff. You find me the team that lowballs GMs. Like Billy Beane in Oakland has never paid the manager a lot. But baseball's basically now a GM sport. And so, I mean, LeBron's looking at this and he's thinking, so you don't think GM matters. So you want to run it. That would turn me off if I'm LeBron James. It would.
Well, look, if I'm Chauncey, I'm mad for getting lowballed, number one. If the average is $4 million, you came at me with the low 1.5. Like, what do you think about me? Is this just a fill-in job? And you also know that Dan Gilbert never extends his GM. So it was a blessing in disguise to me for Chauncey because, like you said, I'm not sure if they don't win it next year, this season coming up, I think LeBron is gone. He's going to opt out and he's going to leave. And then Chauncey's stuck there with nothing. And it was a lose-lose situation for him. Now, if LeBron, if he got paid the right amount of money, that's the only thing that would have kept Chauncey going there. If he would have got paid the respectable amount is the average, he probably would have took the job. But I think in the back he knows that LeBron's leaving. So a blessing in disguise at the end of the day.
But how does it land for LeBron?
I don't think LeBron's upset about it. I don't think he's upset about it at all because, number one, LeBron doesn't control – as much as everyone thinks he controls the front office, he doesn't control the front office. And, number two, Chauncey Billups has never been a GM. Who's to say that Chauncey is going to be the guy that's going to come in and just all of a sudden start making the trades and get the players and do everything that's going to help
you
him?
You could have said that about Steve Kerr.
But by lowballing Chauncey, doesn't it show you the classic Dan Gilbert where I'm the star of the show? You wouldn't lowball
him. Well, hold on. This is another thing that you just said. LeBron understands all aspects of the business. Okay, at some point, Gilbert's going to stop paying all those luxury taxes. You got to start getting the money back somewhere. Guess what? I have an opening where I can grab a few million back. That could be a part of it.
You're a billionaire,
well.
Eric.
But that's how he became a billionaire.
You know why he's a billionaire? Because he's not giving away millions.
Right. And they're going to go back to being a 30-win team when LeBron walks out the door.
But LeBron James...
LeBron's leaving anyway.
LeBron sees it as, okay, I came back to Cleveland, and your net worth went from $500 million to, you know, whatever it is, $2 billion. LeBron's like, bro, let's not get into 1.5, 2. I have nearly doubled your net worth.
But
and your reward for me is
but
penny
still,
pinching.
Is that the assumption? That is, you're living on the assumption that LeBron believes that Chauncey was the guy that was going to change everything moving forward for him. LeBron may not feel that way about it. LeBron doesn't know. It's not a disrespect thing. Yeah. It's like maybe he's not that concerned and he's not bothered.
But you can go back to his relationship with David Griffin. LeBron and Griffin worked together in lockstep to bring over J.R. Smith and Mozgov and Shumpert. They worked together to make all those moves. Now LeBron loses his GM.
And that's what I believe that he's upset about, that Dave Griffin left, that he didn't extend Dave Griffin. I think he's more upset about that. I don't think this Chauncey Billups things that bother him at all. I think it's more so that David Griffin should have got extended, should have been the first guy to get extended. He didn't because they had a great working relationship to build this thing that they did. They won a championship, and Dan Gilbert let him go. I think that's what he's upset at, not this Chauncey business.
Let's be honest, too. If LeBron goes to the Lakers, LeBronzo, didn't that billboard sound good?
It has a good feel to it.
LeBronzo. Welcome back, Eric Davis, Eddie Hauser back. By the way, Whitlock will be back next week. Let's move to New York, where the Knicks continue to find new ways to embarrass themselves, getting blasted for offering role player Tim Hardaway Jr. 4 years and 71 large. Yikes. So far, New York has completely failed to build around Kristaps Porzingis, who Phil Jackson was openly shopping before he got fired. All right, J-Mac, would it be crazy, though, for the Knicks to just trade Porzingis and start over?
Not at all. And I think you get some credit for starting this bust. Haven't you been driving this down?
I have.
Okay, as a long-suffering Knicks fan since they traded Patrick Ewing almost 17 years ago, this franchise is going nowhere. And as we just saw, when you have an option to trade a star, Indiana had Paul George. They could have gotten multiple draft picks. They ended up getting nothing. I think you trade Porzingis before his value goes down and nobody's willing to offer you anything.
This is something to think about. There are certain organizations in sports, the Green Bay Packers, they know they're not going to be a free agent destination. So they have to build through the draft or trades. Well, generally we associate that with small market teams. But the Knicks are so poorly run that they're not a free agent destination. And 19-year-olds don't win in this league, even in the East. So my takeaway is, how do you get two stars for one? You make a trade.
You go right to Boston.
This
you go
is
right,
what,
Danny Ainge, give me all your
listen,
picks.
What you tell me, guys, you tell me a top agent and a bright guy who says, get me to New York. I've been watching for 15 years. They get Amari Stoudemire, whose knees are shot. Who wants to go there?
Well, also tell me the GM that's going to say, okay, I'll give you my two stars for this one because I know I can hold you hostage. I'm not going to give you what you want. I'm not going to give you the value for Porzingis. Now, that trade, Porzingis should hope and pray that it happens. But for the Knicks, I don't see them doing it. As you just said, it's not a free agent destination. He's the one star that they have.
So trade him.
You trade him. If you think you can get the value, they're not going to get the value.
There's always a bad GM
right now. And hold on. And there's always a bad GM. You'll be able to trade him later. Right now, you need a star. The Knicks need a star.
Exactly.
But he's not going to want to re-sign there, Eric. I mean, the way Phil Jackson treated him, right now, he hates it in New York.
Phil Jackson's gone.
Yes, but he's sour now.
I wouldn't trade him. If you're going to blow up the whole thing, you blow it up and you build around him. First off, shout out to Tim Hardaway Jr. for getting that money. I remember he's a little kid running around when I was a rookie. So get your money, man. But you can't trade this guy because you have to build around him. He's a special talent. He's the reason why a lot of guys are coming to these games. Let's get it straight first off. The Knicks aren't good anyway. When the last time they began? The 90s? And before that, the 70s? They have never really been relevant in basketball. And everybody,
you can't build around him with Joakim Noah, Courtney Lee, Lance
Thomas. Well,
you're going
to have to try to trade them. You don't trade your star. You can't trade your star.
He's a center with two injuries in 2 years. You know how it works with bigs, not guards. Guys 7 feet or above, that's not a natural height. Injuries early, injuries late. Steph Curry can bang an ankle up. But Steph Curry 8 years late. John Stockton broke a leg. Michael Jordan broke a leg. Centers get hurt early, they get hurt late.
But remember, he's a young guy, and he can recover faster. He's not late in his career. He's early in his career. He's 20 years old? 21, 22. So he's still young. He's going to recover fast. That's a big plus for that. You don't want to trade away a young star. I can see a star that was maybe on his way out, like a Melo.
Like early.
A Melo is way too early.
By the way,
you got to build around
because
him.
The way the new NBA is aligned, virtually everybody outside of the Warriors has a bad contract. Everybody's got one or two. If the Knicks, this is how you trade Porzingis. You go to a team that's close that has a bad contract. You go to a Lakers or something.
Go to the Lakers,
And you just say, okay, we'll swallow Luol Deng if you give us. The way to make a deal to get two stars for one is we'll swallow your horrible contract. I think New York can make it move because they've been willing to take on bad contracts.
Now, think about this. Now, they've been garbage for since I can remember, right?
He's killing them.
They are, because they are. They make garbage. Now, you get rid of Porzingis for Luol Deng. As a Knicks fan, you're a Knicks fan. What do you say then? You're like, good job, good trade. We're going to blow it up in big
pick. Maybe you get a three-way deal, you get two
picks.
But
when you get a pick, right, you don't know if that pick's going to hit or not. Exactly. And the way they've been drafting, they haven't been. This is the only one they hit.
They drafted Porzingis. It hit.
That's the only one that they hit on. That's the only one after all the other guys. After all the other guys they drafted, Porzingis is the one for sure. So you don't trade something for sure for an unknown. I just don't think you do that.
All right, welcome back. Eric Davis, of course, here. We're now joined by three-time Pro Bowler Mark Carrier. Good to have you on, bud.
To a guy rewriting the record books, Collins buddy Aaron Rodgers, Packers QB, is on pace to become the 11th QB ever to throw 300 touchdowns in his career, but he will be the first to do it with fewer than 100 interceptions. As you see there, even the next closest guy, Tom Brady, threw 115 picks before getting 300 TDs, while Rodgers has only thrown 72 picks for his entire career. Colin, are you impressed by Aaron Rodgers' upcoming milestone?
I mean, what does that tell me I didn't know? I mean, he's really good. By the way, in the last 6 years, there have been five different NFC quarterbacks in the Super Bowl. None are Aaron Rodgers, and he's got an elite coach. I like Aaron. I think he's a big talent. But at this point in his career, I have these lingering questions. Why doesn't he get there more often? Yeah. For most of his career, Dallas has been dysfunctional. The last 6 years, the Giants have been cool. Philadelphia is rebuilding. There's some bad teams. New Orleans can't play defense.
Yeah, I mean, Colin, I think you make a great point. Let me hit on this. Stats, they say they're like bikinis, right? They show a lot, but they don't show everything. And what they're not showing here is Aaron Rodgers' division is a joke. In the last decade, the Bears, one playoff appearance. The Vikings, one playoff win. What have the Lions done? Nothing. This is just like how we talk about Tom Brady in the AFC East. What's Aaron Rodgers doing in that division? Just dominating.
We're missing
completely.
A point. We're missing a point because let's go back, because the point you made earlier about Tom Brady, about what he's gotten being in New England, great defense.
Yeah,
Green
okay.
Bay's defense
you beat me to it.
Is terrible. It sucks. It's the worst defense out there. I know your boy, the defensive coordinator,
Dom Capers.
Capers.
But Capers still—they haven't tackled. They haven't tackled Adrian Peterson.
Their defense ever. And everybody—that's what makes. And don't get me wrong, because now Eric's played in North Carolina and San Francisco, where I had to play in the Midwest and Chicago and everything. You got to be a strong-minded and a tough quarterback to go play in Green Bay. No question.
I'm not knocking Aaron because anytime you criticize Aaron, and I'm not even criticizing.
You're a hater. That's
no. I'm adding context. First ballot Hall of Famer. If you told me today in the NFL one player start your franchise, I'd pick Aaron. Yeah. What I'm saying is it's a bubble screen league. All the quarterbacks. I mean, everybody throws for 4,000. Andy Dalton throws for 4,000. Nothing to say.
Andy Dalton plug. You got your Andy Dalton plug.
Now, this is the thing that I'm going to say, but you still have to take into account the accomplishment, because you say everyone throws a bunch of bubble screens, but when Peyton Manning threw a bunch of bubble screens and Bebe was taking 2-yard routes and running them for touchdowns, and he threw 55 touchdowns that season, we say it's the greatest quarterback season ever. So in this situation, you look at the guys on this list that have played in his era. You can go back and look at Marino. You can look at Montana. You go back and look at quarterbacks when there were different rules and the middle of the field wasn't open, so you get more interceptions when guys are getting banged as opposed to how guys are right now. At the end of the day, doing his job, he can't play defense, okay? He can't control the wide receivers or tight ends that they put on his team. All he can do is put the ball where it needs to be, and he has been extremely efficient, better than these other guys, and I think there is something to be said about
it. But, Eric,
that.
Look at number two on this list of 300 mm-hmm. TDs, 100 interceptions. It's Philip Rivers. Like, really, this stat's so overblown. Philip Rivers, what has he done? He's a really nice quarterback. What has he done?
Phillip Rivers is a really nice quarterback
exactly.
that hasn't had an offensive line in quite some time. He's had some years where he had no defense. They're slowly trying to build it up. When they actually had a team in place, the front office destroyed it. It's not Phillip Rivers. You got to look at it's all encompassing.
By the way, Russell Wilson's been to two Super Bowls. By and large, Seattle's whiffed on their O-line draft picks. They've never had a great receiving core.
They don't draft well.
I think that's pretty good receivers.
But I mean,
big names.
We receivers. Can make excuses for everybody.
Andrew Luck.
Here's what I know that Aaron has. A terrific coach.
Yes.
That is an A coach. Ted Thompson knows what he's doing. An incredibly unchaotic, stable organization.
Yes.
A lousy division. Now, in fairness, Aaron hasn't had great defenses.
No.
The one he had, he won a Super Bowl.
Super Bowl with.
But we get to a point with Aaron Rodgers. Okay, I know you got a great arm. Can't we add some context? Shouldn't he be going longer, more consistently? The NFC's been a lot of different meh for like 8 years.
And every one of those meh that you say makes it to the Super Bowl, their defense stands up that year.
Yeah.
He needs a defense.
He needs to be better
defending
defense.
Defending Andrew Luck the way they
no
defend
kidding.
Aaron Rodgers. It's unbelievable.
You haven't talked to me about Andrew Luck.
We
I've been saying this since
more
day
about
one.
Andrew Luck.
And they need an offensive line, and they need to get stretched out of defense.
You got off
front office, too?
Got off the hook there.